settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
This is Sylvie Avery, and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical and information show that's designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. On today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and with the aid of our spirit friends, we are going to be talking about dependent desire. And if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, the phone lines will be open. It's toll-free in U.S. and Canada, and the U.S. number is 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322. And of course, at this time of the day, international callers are going to be listening because I think it's, for instance, in the UK, it should be around 9 o'clock at night now. Unfortunately, it's not a free call, but actually, to be quite honest with you, it's not that costly because I do it all the time when I'm at home. And, you know, if you're having a night in, it's still a cheap way to spend the evening and be entertained. So if you want to give us a call from an international number, the code number is 001-530-876-3222. And I'll repeat those again a little later on.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirits Work on the fabulous bbsradio.com on Mondays at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, and that's 9 p.m. in the UK, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, or have an Akashic reading, or any of the other services that we offer, please go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Now, as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, or full-body trance medium. And each week, live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world so they can use it to speak through me. And I know absolutely nothing about what's happened during that time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back safe and sound when Gregory leaves. So not only do I miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where they took me either. But sometimes I do, and it's kind of like a faint dream or, you know, I do have some kind of recall at times. Anyway, I'm going to hand you back.
You are if you waffle, yeah.
Yes.
Shut up. No time for domestic.
No, I mean me, dear. Okay, so I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie and have a great show.
Thanks, Gregory. Gregory? Mick, oh, you've started me off now. Okay, I'll tell you a little bit about Gregory, the spirit that's going to be speaking to us through Mick. He's a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of many great minds as well as regular people, and between them they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there's a need for us to gain an understanding beyond the constraint of our human minds. The subject matter we cover is limitless and will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death. We do not have any religious bias or political persuasion, and our mission is only to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit, to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. So don't forget the number to call if you want to join us in our conversation. So this is not readings, but it's a conversation about whatever you'd like to talk about, but as long as it's about the topic that we are discussing or in a roundabout way, that would be really great. So in the U.S., it's toll-free, 877-876-5227. Canada 888 81083822. International callers, it's not toll free, but do give it a go. We'd love to hear from you. It's 001-530-876-3222. And if you have a suggestion for a show topic that we can cover one week, we will do our best. If you just send it in, either go to our website and find our email on there, and that is at spirit-teaching.com, or if you've got a pen, our email is enq@spirit-teaching.com. Okay. So I do believe Gregory is with us now.
But love and light has always been.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello, dear Faye.
Hello. Okay, so, well, today we're going to be talking about dependent desire. Would you like to begin?
Yes, Faye. Dependent desire is exactly what it says. It is the expression, the way in which human beings need to have some form of situation that is repetitive in the field of life. This could be a form of perhaps a particular subject, not necessarily to do with work that you are doing at this moment in time, but it could be perhaps a recreational activity. Human beings tend to gravitate toward specific subjects in trying to fulfill the desire of the internal needs, that is, the needs of the consciousness. These are very specific needs because they are situations which gravitate, which pull you inward toward the most intricate details of that specific title or specific situation. So this could be perhaps a sport. Perhaps you are infatuated with football or something like that. Not necessarily as a participant, but you could just be a spectator of a particular sport. And perhaps what your desire increases in its magnitude, in the way in which you take part in it, as it were, as a voyeur, as a person on the outside looking and watching and finding it exhilarating, perhaps, that human beings create such prowess, perhaps. This is to do with a situation which is perhaps very good. It is positive. Many people would say it is positive because people are perhaps supporting their own team or something like that, or perhaps their own individual player. And what they are doing is their energy is positive in willing them to do something very good for their own well-being and for the person's well-being as well. That person, through watching and being exhilarated by that activity, as we are saying, we are talking about football, whatever kind of football that is, perhaps, you would be actually observing it, you would be caught up in the game itself, releasing emotions and bringing about a certain situation of euphoria within your own personal situation. So you would actually be exhilarated, pumping adrenaline through your body system, and in this state of euphoria, what you're actually doing is responding to the pheromonic activity, the adrenaline and other different forms of pheromonic activity which are happening in your physical state. You're responding to this, and this is actually happening to you as a form of a drug, really, not a relaxation necessarily, because you can actually become overwhelmed or exhausted by the efforts of your excitement during the situation. And what you are then experiencing are forms of a high, an exhilaration past the point of mere consciousness state, but it supersedes the consciousness state, bringing into, actually, states of different forms of awareness, of exhilaration and happiness. This is something which is being driven by the constant activity you're observing. This is what people do in physical life, we see. People, even in my day, used to, of course, take part in activities. Native peoples of all different nations and tribes also have different exhilarating games that they play. Perhaps from Mongolians using horse riding and certain forms of retrieval from horseback that they do with one another, which perhaps not only brings about situations of reverence to one another, raising the status of an individual, of course, and therefore leading to certain situations of genetics and the manipulation of their own attraction of other people toward them. People love to have a winner, someone who has gained a great deal of notoriety from their prowess of one particular activity or other. And so, of course, people will flock to that person and gather around them, sending all of this loving adoration and positive energy toward them. So this is something which creates further desire within you. It's exhilarating for you within your life span. This is the point of what we are trying to talk about here, what we wish to discuss with you, because it is something which is not just an animalistic behavior. It isn't something which is purely driven by the instinctive scenarios within your own physical system. It is actually something drawn out by the whole attitude of your life revolving around that one specific item, that one specific thing, field of attention that is brought to your mind, and your physical body state yearns to have that attention again and again, which is why you repeat the situation, why you will follow a particular team or a rider, whatever it is, whatever exhilarating path you tread. People, in the same instance, perhaps when they are riding horses, will also feel this state of independent desire, which is the exhilaration situation of actually being upon the horse, being at one with the horse, perhaps, has a spiritual upliftment. And most certainly for some people, they can derive great spiritual development through being with that particular horse friend, perhaps, or being in fur. May not be a horse, of course, may be a dog. Perhaps you take it for walks, and this is something which also exhilarates you once again, transcending the personal self to you bringing enjoyment and fulfilling your life through these situations and events. They are bringing situations of empowerment to your life, helping you to record images of loving awareness and wonder of that form of unity that you have with that being in fur. This is also something, of course, which is triggered by your relationship perhaps with a specific player or whatever, not on a personal level, of course. It very rarely comes to that, because you are viewing it perhaps through a different form of media or something like that, not actually present at the physical event. I understand, of course, that many people are then attracted to the main physical event of seeing these particular people in this activity or whatever, and that is something which also fulfills this situation of desire. So I'm not saying here in this situation that these are wrong feelings. But for human beings to actually recognize what it is you are evolving into, what it is you are actually bringing about in the energy you create, you are actually releasing all of this activity in your pheromonic state. Also, that is, of course, bringing happiness to your self state. It is actually helping you to cope, perhaps, with other mindful stresses of your day or your week or year, whatever other activity you may be involved in your work situation, or situation outside of that dependent desire. It is helping you to have a more balanced life and approach situations, perhaps in business or in your other personal affairs, which otherwise, without that dependent desire and that desire being fulfilled in some way, you would perhaps be more, find it more difficult to approach these different scenarios, perhaps with a clear understanding and energy to cope with them. You perhaps may feel less able, if you did not have a dependent desire upon something, to actually attract positivity to overcome hurdles that may appear in your pathway.
Well, you can feel lost, can't you? I mean...
Absolutely.
But how do you know the difference between... How do you distinguish the difference between a dependent desire and having found your pathway, where you are totally motivated and singularly focused?
Yes, well, quite simply because perhaps a dependent desire may be something which is something that you actually take part in on perhaps on a regular basis, but that it is only actually secondary to your other motivational needs. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that whatever job of work that you do or whatever you do for a living in your material world is necessarily going to be something that will not appreciate your dependent desire. It may be something that's actually connected with it. Perhaps you are happily employed or enjoying the work that you do because that is the central point of your dependent desire. And in which case, of course, you are fulfilling and extending that sensitivity and awareness of that particular subject, perhaps, and increasing your spirituality motivation upon it. Because actually, what you are doing is perhaps what you have always wanted to do. And so perhaps that in itself is something which creates a spiritual awareness. Perhaps even upon the road to enlightenment. Perhaps even attaining enlightenment in that process. Such is the state of dependent desire and the way in which it can actually overtake your life completely.
What's the difference between getting the high, shall we say, the buzz out of watching some sport that we like or something like that and have this sort of adrenaline euphoria and, you know, that sort of thing? What's the difference between that and actually taking a drug to get those feelings?
Well, that's my point, really.
Yes.
That actually, in a transitional way, what you are doing is fulfilling a specific need that you may not have through other revelations in your life. So these may not necessarily, if you follow me, understand that these may not necessarily involve personal relationships or personal development. This is something which you are observing or experiencing alternate to your own physical life. So perhaps in this respect, for me to include horseback riding or something that you are doing personal to yourself with involvement with other animals, perhaps as being something which arouses your awareness and spirituality in a upper consciousness level, is perhaps a possible pathway to understanding further enlightenment about your spirituality. Whereas this other form of dependent desire, perhaps, as I say, watching sports or whatever, or even taking part in it as being part of the audience at a specific game, mm-hmm. physically, is something which arouses only just a temporary fulfillment. So that perhaps is something which is closer to a form of dependency upon other substances or other ideals. After all, there isn't very much becoming between them.
No, because a drug is not a permanent situation.
No, exactly so.
That's fleeting as well.
Yes, and that is something also to fulfill the whole, to fulfill the need of desire which you feel is bereft of you. And so what I'm saying really, I suppose, is that for many human beings, they fixate upon a specific thing, an object lesson perhaps, or a sport or whatever it is outside of their normal domain, something that they couldn't hope to achieve themselves. As a way of fulfilling this dependent desire, rather than seeking something which will actually fulfill it.
Well, it goes a step further than that as well, doesn't it? Because we actually adore sportsmen, pop stars, musicians,
yes.
and film stars.
Oh,
and that
absolutely
sort of thing,
so. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, why? What is that inherent in us that happens?
Oh, that is quite simple to explain, Ben. Because that is really centered upon the situation of genetics. What is it that you admire? What is it that you explore about human activity and the fait accompli, I suppose, about an individual's characteristic? What is it that you seek most about in your life that you wish to, that was perhaps a part of your genetics, that you aspire as being the perfection of human form? Human beings in a physical form. Could you actually perhaps put exactly the same connotation upon a particular animal that you perhaps admire or acknowledge the well-being of your specific horse or dog or cat as being a perfect specimen of that? And then this is something then which actually allows you to be more positive and loving toward that being, perhaps because of its behavior, very well behaved, it does the things that you ask of it. Perhaps it's a dog that does tricks. Perhaps it's a dog that looks absolutely beautiful, has a shiny coat, is well groomed, looks a very good specimen, because that is the epitome of what you would wish to have as a form of attraction to self. Because that is actually what you are doing in that situation. Not, I'm saying that that's not something unkind, you understand. It is just really a byproduct of what it is. Because if you are genuine about that relationship with that other being, then surely it doesn't really matter what they look like. Obviously, you want to do your best for that animal if it's in your care. You want to give it all the loving care you can. And so if it looks good, if it doesn't look, or rather, if it looks as though it's diseased or its hair's falling out or something like that, then you are not going to be so pleased with it. It doesn't mean to say that your love is any less.
But is it with the, like, for instance, film stars or something like that?
Yes.
Is it something to do with everybody wants to be good at something? Because not all film stars are good-looking. You don't necessarily want to look like... I won't name names, but some film stars you wouldn't want to look like.
Yes, quite so. Yes.
And you might not be even craving that amount of money and that sort of thing. But there's something that maybe it's to do with being good at something.
Oh yes, quite
and
so.
And other people recognizing something in you.
Yes.
This craving for adoration.
Yes, I understand that. The point then is that this is another pathway of human behavior that you perhaps are attracted to. What you are looking are the best things about human beings. You do not perhaps actually become fixated about the worst things about human beings, although many people do, because perhaps that is somewhere that they don't want to go. It is a representation of what they don't want to look like, what they do not wish to end up in doing in their physical activity. Because look at that form of notoriety and the negativity energy, the negative energy that they actually attract themselves. You wouldn't want to bring that upon yourself. So the situation of dependent desire in the form of particularly perhaps well-formed beings or even beings of note, as you say, who are not particularly attractive, but actually give you a credible experience of the dependent desire of what it is they create. So it may well be that they're not good looking in terms of how you genetically face one another, but that perhaps what they produce is something of intense beauty. And of course, with that intense beauty comes spiritual revelation through listening or experiencing, through watching what it is they create. These are creative people who help to actually shape and form your intensity of your life. In this case, you are not creating dependence desire upon them. You are not necessarily actually desiring something yourself of them, of their presence in your life, but what you are doing is you are experiencing exhilaration of their presence, of what they create. And so it isn't exactly the same as though you were perhaps watching someone in athletics or something like that. It is quite different because it is actually touching different buttons. It's forming different relationships with you, with the situation they're creating.
Okay. I'd like to say thank you for anybody that's just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about dependent desire. If you'd like to join us, in the conversation and our discussion, the number to call is toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227, Canada, 888-810-8322. International callers, I'm afraid, isn't a toll-free, but it's not too expensive, and the number is 001-530-876-3222. What about compulsive disorders, then?
Well, compulsive disorders tend to appear, once again, because there is something within the nature of the individual person which is not existing within their life. So perhaps the void within them, because this desire is unfulfilled, is something which then upsets the pheromonic activity. And what you have as a result of this is a situation where the person actually becomes fixated upon other situations. Perhaps they do not see their own desire fulfilled in what they see in the mirror. It generally tends to be that people who are fixated for whatever reason, perhaps of some form of food disorder or something like that, is actually originally triggered by self-conditioning. This could be something which happens from home life or some other such situation which tends to degrade one's own feelings of self-understanding and perhaps affirmations of a person's identity. Perhaps it may be that the person is suffering from their looks or something like that. Perhaps they are not overly attractive for one particular reason, or perhaps actually they are very attractive on the genetic scale of things, but they do not feel or observe it as so, because their actual position of what they see and observe is altered by their own mind retention of what it is they see. That's the image that they see is ugly, according to them. So this, of course, is a difficulty, because it's a difficulty coming out of the evolution of their characteristic brought about by environmental pressure and environmental change upon them. People don't want to appear ugly. They do not want to feel aggressive towards others because they feel unworthy of themselves. Do not want to feel negative. But that, again, is a different form of expression of characteristic. It's another energy. It's another energy which some people actually then feel gravitated toward because it's an energy. Doesn't matter what it is, positive or negative. It's still an energy which releases pheromonic activity, which makes them feel something, anything.
It stimulates them in one way or the other.
Yes. And sometimes, for some people, how that energy stimulates a being is something which can be derogatory, is something which can then actually have a detrimental effect upon them because they do not see how they are belittling themselves. Perhaps this is something, my friends, which actually sprang from a person being belittled by someone else. Being told they are not pretty, not beautiful. Being told they are ugly, or that their thoughts are ugly. These are all situations which actually can be derived from one very small incident, which then, if left unresolved, can explode into a myriad of facets difficult to cope with for the mind. It can just be just that one small trigger.
Mm-hmm. It can be even having been a sibling of next in line to an older sibling who is very clever, very intelligent, capable at school or something like that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Many people are felt as being negative toward their own well-being, particularly if an older sibling has gravitated or done many great things within their life already. And then it's a bit of a situation of how can that sibling possibly emanate that other, the other older sibling? Or how could the sibling perhaps emanate their father? Evaluate their life course being overrun by that father, perhaps. Perhaps it is, or mother, of course. Perhaps it is that one of the parents are equally successful. How then do you actually manage the dependent desire upon the child, the sibling, to actually be able to overcome that stature and understand their life as an individual is just as sacred, just as beautiful, even if they do not look it or feel it? They will have to work for their own dependent desire. And the fulfilling of that desire may not necessarily be to do with something which is material or physical in that way, but actually be something which is of a great spiritual nature, of an uplifting fulfillment.
Absolutely. I know you said before when people go to the spirit world, or maybe even were in the spirit world before they came here, that they would do other things that were more giving, sharing their energy in different ways.
Oh, yes.
And then on the other hand, that you said that when people also leave the physical world, they very often take all these hang-ups with them.
Yes, they can do, yes.
So there's something... So basically, if you've got the cellular memory and the intention to recreate these feelings, you can.
Yes.
So presumably you can actually stop that here as well.
Of course you can, yes. But the point is that you have to actually find what the triggers are.
Exactly.
Which motivate you to do that, to think that way. So finding the triggers then means you can actually unravel the position of the triggers, why they cause what they cause in your life. So perhaps by retracing those steps, as painful as they may be, perhaps, if they are negative triggers, by retracing those steps, which is how therapists usually work with this problem of dependent desires of negative feelings, is that by retracing these steps, you are actually uncovering the truth of what caused them. And so perhaps then by the feeling generally is that by acknowledging the truth of what caused them, whether it was something deficient about your own behavior or perhaps deficiency about the view that you had of that particular form of behavior that actually created it in the first place. And so, therefore, it is thought once you know and acknowledge these triggers and what caused them, you can accommodate it and perhaps feel less aggressive about it. Perhaps realize where that negative energy has come from, not swinging that negative energy toward the other person perhaps who created it or the situation that created it. But knowledge is something which helps a person grow. And for all the consciousness development, you will be happier spent by acknowledging the growth that you make in finding the knowledge and understanding what it was that made you move there in the first place, in your angst or in your decision to make your journey have that pillar of your life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We very often look to not only like film stars, pop stars, celebrities and that sort of thing, but not only that, but we very often look at other people and think that they have the life that you want. You want to be like them. You want to emulate them in some way. And we always seem to be making it difficult for ourselves, whereas presumably if we just look within, we discover ourselves. It's a balance between mind and spirit, isn't it?
Yes.
Finding our way in life.
Yes, absolutely so, Fred. If you are fixated, perhaps, by somebody else, what does it do? What does it actually create within you? It creates well-being, perhaps, at the times that you see that person, and the way in which you react at seeing that person is something, perhaps, which indicates how much positivity you bring about in that person's company, or even if you're seeing them, if you are seeing them on a film, or something like that. So, if you are actually maintaining this position, you're having difficulty perhaps in moving away from it, in seeing your own pathway, in what you may do for your own life. And of course, it will be that instead of trying to fill this desire, it doesn't mean to say that we don't want you to do this, but there are pathways that you can make in your life experience by taking the feelings of emptiness, of the desire, therefore you must try and fill them with something, anything will do, to actually realize that there are things that you can do within your own understanding as a physical being, that is, a spirit having a human existence. And what you can do is create the wellness and understanding within yourself. You don't actually need to have these other focuses of stimuli, in order to bring about a feeling of well-being. I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm saying that there are also other ways in which you can create your own fulfillment. Those inner desires can be understood, and knowledge can come from the way in which you create for yourself.
Well, even meditation releases pheromonic emotions.
Yes, absolutely so.
So, aren't we saying in a way that that is also part of this, well, dependency or this cycle of events that we are continuing only in a different way?
Yes, quite so. But the point is that if you are using meditation to create this, this is something from the wellness of within a self, which means that all you are doing is you are actually expanding that wellness within a self, the love within you, and that kind of sensation is something which metamorphoses into, brings you into a different climate of understanding, a different climate of well-being. Not something which is created externally for yourself, therefore you have to constantly seek it externally in order to find it. It's something that you just need to know of yourself as a sacred being, just as a sacred being, part of the Creator. How beautiful can that be? How most wonderful an experience could you possibly fulfill in one single desire as to understand that you are a part of God? Surely, just in that one single moment realization, if you can attune yourself to that one desire of revelation about yourself, leave aside what you look like, but concentrate more upon what is in your heart. What is it that motivates your heart to cry, perhaps, in anguish at things you see negative happening to other people, or that make your heart sing and leap at times when you are beautified in your physical experience by the worthwhile positive nature of others and of your own exploration of your relationship between your physical state and your spirit. How much more beautiful can life be than you having one single sublime moment with the Creator of all oneness, which extends your life into a perfect state of bliss and being. Can you surely imagine something any more beautiful than that?
When people are opening up to a spiritual, their spirituality, they're blossoming. They tend to try all sorts of ways, and I was no different, to find their way, because it's so exciting. There's all these new sensations coming to their, into their lives, and these new possibilities. They don't really know where they're going, but there's this new pathway, there's these new emotions. They go for readings, they go on courses, they listen to other mediums, and they do workshops and that sort of thing. It's a wonderful time for them.
Yes.
Is this something that you would like to talk about?
Oh, most certainly so, yes. The point, of course, with all of this is that you are trying to find someone to tell you what the path is. What's the definition of excitement? What is the definition of the exclamation of bliss? How do you reach the state of bliss? Everyone wants to know, how do you define that? Bliss is only a fleeting moment. It's there and it's gone. Away in a breath and gone. How do you relive that moment? How do you gain access constantly? It is a form of giving, friends. It isn't a form of what you are looking for. Because by looking for it, you're missing it. By trying to find the excitement, to repeat the revelation, is not something which will occur in true light. Because by wanting it to reoccur, you're wanting just to merely repeat the experience. Because perhaps it left you with a physical feeling, a visitation. But surely, what you really, truly wish to do is to seek beyond that revelation, or to seek the next step, another doorway. By trying to confine yourself to the what if I can seek this, what if I can seek that, you are already putting a connotation. You are planting an idea. This is what I seek. When truly, to believe in yourself is to believe that every moment you exist is a statement of that possibility of bliss. It's only to do with your revelation or your lack of sight that means that you cannot see the state of bliss you are in, because you're not physically experiencing it. You're not physically experiencing it because you're looking for something else to give you the joined up writing, to give you the sentence, to give you the actual pathway that you expect. But it's because you're expecting it. You're not feeling it. It's because you are looking to this similar experience, repeated again and again. Because what past dependent desires have taught you is that in order to gain this experience, you have to repeat the pathway.
What happens within somebody when they get onto their spiritual pathway, this new exciting venture for them? What's happened within them to want this, to be driven by these emotions?
Because it actually stimulates a different form of activity within a self, because they are dwelling and drawing from the well of love within a self. This is a different and independent situation. It's not a dependent desire. It is independent of the physical state, something which love exists within purity that perhaps they have never experienced. We're not talking about love here between relationships of physical beings. We are talking about the understanding of the bridge of love within a self.
So their spirit has been touched.
Absolutely. And by their physical touching, their physical meeting, even if this is in an auric way of perhaps their higher consciousness, doesn't mean to say it's not physical. What it means to say, friends, is that it is beautifying. Do not try to put physical connotations upon something which is non-physical. It is quite extraordinary how many people try to belittle the attempts of others in order to seek enlightenment or the ultra-dimensional activity. Julian simply because they want to belittle it, because, oh no, you didn't possibly seek or find enlightenment, even the purpose of one specific revelation, of an idea. That surely cannot mean enlightenment, but it does. The point is that so many people miss the boat. They do not see it when they've got it. And then they want to repeat the process or repeat the experience. That isn't what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to repeat the same experience, but have a different one. That is the pathway to true enlightenment. Different experiencing. Coming again and again. Evolutionary processes of the quiet mind, of the little mind, that you are trying to expand through knowledge, doorways, through awareness. Yes, windows of opportunity. We will use the word windows because windows are things that you look out from the view of your closed self. They are experiences upon experiences of new consciousness revelation, which to you, my friends, is imperative that you meet. By meeting this revelation journey of yourself, it will bring about new instances, not ones that you expect to make, but revelations of your life. Beautiful. Beautiful. How glorious can that be?
So what do you suggest for people then to, where are we going to be going with this towards the end of the show?
Who knows?
I think probably everybody knows that we recommend meditation.
Yes, but what I'm saying, you see, friend, is that the idea of the situation, the job, if you like, the job of work you are to do as a spirit being having a physical human experience is that you come together with that human physical experience. You motivate, have impression upon that physical experience through the interdimensional activity. How you do this is by a physical being acknowledge that you are worth more than what you are. And by finding that worthiness is the path of meditation. By finding that creative activity is the path of being at one. That is the ultimate prize. The prize of ultimately being at one means that you accept everything, whatever that is. It then releases the fear and creates that all of that negativity that you thought about yourself is useless, wasted energy. It's nothing which is going to attract beauty or goodness to you and will actually just continue to motivate lesser and lesser thoughts of yourself. That is why meditation is so important. If you have a bully in a school, my friend, and you have a child exasperated from this contact, how are you possibly going to motivate them around it? Because what they feel is worth less by the fact of being bullied, that they cannot stand up to or create a field around themselves. How can they possibly overcome these tragedies in life? Quite simple. More simple than anyone can see, as it appears. Responsibility has to be taken by self to begin with, to step beyond that cause and effect, to understand they are worthy, because by someone feeling worthless, they are denying themselves. Meditation can set you upon that path.
We do, without a doubt, like leaders, we do tend to herd.
Of course.
So I guess it's to become a silent, passive leader is the thing, isn't it?
Yes, or to have someone who actually speaks your own volume of words, your own thoughts. If you have a leader who actually says the things that are within your heart, isn't that truly what motivates people to climb out of their pit of despair?
Isn't it about energy as well?
Yes. Oh, absolutely so. Positive energy, energy creating understanding of the knowledge pathway of perhaps the deep trough that you have been in. This is how you climb out, friends. I give you this way. And people say, oh, yay. I can see that. It's the same, my friends, when you understand the true perfection of the possibilities with meditation. I'm not saying that you have to meditate with your fingers in a certain unpalatable way that's difficult to maintain. I'm not saying that you have to sit meditating with crossed legs in a lotus position or any other position. That is something for the purist. And perhaps they are feeling well-defined by that moment and connected too. Usually because the body's tissues are in set in a certain way of relaxation. But not all people can do that. Therefore, that form of meditation is difficult for them or almost impossible. So what I'm saying is that, in fact, just as simple a thing to do is to sit on a straight back chair and just sit relaxed. You don't have to cross your legs upon it. You don't have to sit in a lotus position. You don't have to do all of those other uncomfortable, impossible things that many people, because of their physical physique, just cannot attain. So what is the point of trying to do that if it is something which your physical state cannot possibly accomplish? You are self-defeating yourself once again. Fear, and you are bringing about an enclosure in your life, something yet again you are unable to achieve. Meditation in the purest way of silence is something which is easy and accessible for every single human being, no matter what state you're in. You could be blind, deaf. You can be mutilated beyond any comprehension of a physical state. You can still meditate. That's a fact.
Okay, so if we've got a couple of minutes left for the end of the show. If you'd like to describe, I think that would be good, to, unless you've got something else to say about dependent desire. I was just thinking it might be good to take them through a little meditation, how we do it.
Yes, quite so. To begin with, friends, it doesn't matter whether it's raining outside or whether it's sunny. It doesn't matter if you live in an urban street, in a high-rise block of flats or some sort of noisy environment. All you need to do is remember these things. You do not need anything else except yourself. So you can sit on a chair or you can sit in the corner of your room on the floor if you like. Corners are good because they hold you up, upright. So you can just sit in the corner of the room on the floor with your legs out straight. It doesn't matter. Just set your hands in your lap in a comfortable position, gently closing your eyes, sending our thoughts of love to the universe. Are things which can inspire you to connect with that perfect state of being of oneness you so desire. Remember to breathe, but don't concentrate on it. Don't fixate upon it. Just gently allow yourself to relax. Feel the energy, the sensitivity of your skin, perhaps of your feet. And allow that attention to just dissipate away. Just dissipate away from your attraction to it. And as you do this, you may then gradually feel the skin of your legs as you move your attention up your physical body. And just allow and understand that this attention, you can just relax and let go. Let go. Let go and away from your conscious attitude. Let go and away so that as your consciousness moves up, you are feeling less and less aware of your legs, your toes, your feet have gone completely. They're not in your consciousness anymore. And the more that this feeling raises up your body, you are perhaps feeling more relaxed now than you have ever felt in your life. purely and simply by allowing your consciousness attraction to your physical skin and the awareness of it to just slip from your mind as you relax and feel this feeling rising up your chest so that you just relax into the breath, not thinking of the breath, taking that thought, allowing it to dissipate from your mind until you are at peace. And all that is left now is your consciousness dwelling in that silent moment. Even if there is noise outside, you can apply the same thing, the same sensation of allowing your skin to rest, in allowing your mind to rest from the crushing sounds outside. Do not imagine yourself in another place, but imagine yourself at home with your spirit. And there we will leave you.
Thank you, Gregory. Thank you. And of course, always open and close in prayer.
Of course. Always open and close in prayer to the universe, creator, or whomsoever it is you revere.
Okay. Thank you once again, Gregory.
With love and light, friend.
Thank you. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Don't forget, do visit our website at spirit-teaching.com. And do join us again next week and Monday on the wonderful BBS radio. My name is Sylvie Avery. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.